Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2824. That's 2824. I'm Carol Levine. I'm Vice President of NASCA. And tonight we're going to have our CEO on. He's the founder of NASCA. We're going to have Bill Murray on. And he's going to be speaking about the 12-step-based program and so forth that covers child abuse and so forth and so on. He, of course, is from Los Angeles, and, well, he has a lot to say about all kinds of things when it comes about abuse and Alcoholics Anonymous and everything else. So before I say any more about his bio, I am going to read the mission statement. Forgive my voice. I woke up with a nice sore throat, so I will do the best that I can. Okay. So Carol doesn't do getting sick well. I just simply don't. It makes me mad. But anyway, all right, here we go. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And believe me, it does. All right, number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, those three are very, very important right there, prevention, intervention, and recovery. I believe we need to get much more involved in our neighborhoods, okay, and work more closely with our children and watch them a lot better. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on with that. And then intervention, of course, is when you, when you know that your child has been abused or you suspect it, or maybe you know of a kid down the street that you know who has been abused, there's a certain way to speak to them and not to speak to them, okay? And but that's intervention, of course, making a phone call if you absolutely think that it's necessary, you bet. You might be that saving grace for that child. And then, of course, you have recovery. And here at NASCA, we absolutely believe, you know, that there is life after abuse, you bet. And but you do have to go on your healing journey. You do have to get the help that you need one way or another. We don't care how you do it. But to someone that you trust or a therapist that's very good who understands child abuse and what it can do to you, you know, as you're going through your healing journey, and certainly what it did to you in the past as a child. There's nothing wrong with shopping around for a good therapist, okay? Nothing wrong with that at all. So, all right, so enough of that. I want to bring Bill on, and I am here, but I want him to explain more of what he's going to be doing tonight. And I'm going to try to save my voice from myself and from you, the people. Okay, go ahead, Bill. Don't have him on, do I? There we go.
There you go.
Okay, now you Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for the nice introduction. Mm-hmm. Before I get started, let me thank Carol Levine for really toughing it out. We've had a few weeks here that have been really hard to deal with for all of us who are hosts and so forth, and run NASCA as volunteers. And she stepped up to the plate a number of times to fill in for other people and so forth. So we're very grateful to that and appreciate Carol's dedication. I wish that I could say that everybody who gets involved with NASCA is instantly bitten with the kind of bug that Carol was bitten with. And some are, and they want to get involved and they want to do certain responsibilities and so forth. And we can still use any number of people who would step forward, because NASCA, with its thousands of members, have volunteers running it, complete volunteers. We're a nonprofit organization, and we're truly nonprofit. We don't charge anybody anything. We don't charge our own membership any kind of fee, annual fee or anything. We don't sell anything that we provide for survivors, and we don't even have a significant campaign to try and bring in money, although we probably should have some time ago started that. We could definitely use more community support, but we don't press it, is the point, and we never require contributions. So this is all voluntary, and all our staff are volunteers, non-paid volunteers. And, you know, it takes a lot to dedicate yourself to doing this. And so a bunch of people have, you know, over time they've come forward and they've been happy for a while and then they've decided it wasn't for them and they've gone away. But I don't think it was because the system didn't work or the organization didn't work. I think it was because, you know, it's hard to keep up with something that's you're dedicated to, and to the degree that we find ourselves dedicated to it, and to not see some kind of reward that's similar to what you'd get if you worked for somebody, because this is work. It really is. But it's volunteer work. I had the same experience in the LAPD, where I had been trained at LAPD in a variety of different capacities in the community policing programs over there. I'd gone to the academy. I'd been to the FBI school. I'd been to the Department of Homeland Security's first class for civilians and so forth. And over time, I'd gotten more and more trained. And so, you know, but it was all volunteer. And they actually describe us at LAPD as volunteer employees. The reason they say it that way is the volunteer part means we don't get paid. The employees part means we are supported in terms of things like insurance, because LAPD is obviously a dangerous place to be involved, even in the building, but mostly outside the building. You know, you become a target and stuff. Now, I'm not saying that NASCA's volunteers become targets, but I am saying that it's similar in that we're recognized as volunteers and kind of employees, not employees, but we'll call them committed people, you know, committed to the success of this organization. Now, we've seen it grow and grow and grow, and now, you know, 10 years later and more, it's gotten to the point where we have probably all the programs that we're going to have for a while, because to add programs on would be too expensive for us and also require even more staff. At the current rate that we're doing it, we are having some difficulties with keeping staff to the programs that we're having, so we're certainly not going to add on new programs. That would be a burden to the group. But, you know, when you think about what we've got, something like 30 different programs or services or tools that are significant. And by the way, I should mention that on the website at NASCA.org, I'm going to point out a few things on that. But one of the first things I'd want to point out on it would be the highlights page, which you'll find listed there on the front page. And the highlight page is a place where you can see a little explanation of the programs that that we do have. Most of them are listed there, and as I say, there's about 30 of them. And in two or three sentences, they're described, and then there's a link provided where you can go to the part of the website by clicking that link that that explains and supports the subject that is being talked about. So that's the way you look that up. We also have, among those things that are that need to be staffed, on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, and so on. And also, we have programs that involve people who need to be there whenever there's a need for them to be there. So that, in other words, we have contact lists of people who are perhaps ambassadors to the various states and provinces and countries of the world. And they list their phone numbers and so forth there. And they're there to be ready to answer questions for people in their state or their province. But it's not a regular thing. The phone doesn't ring every night at 5 o'clock, in other words. You never know when it's going to ring. And the same thing is true of the volunteer list, which is called the contact list. Contact list is there with a number of people who have stepped forward and volunteered their phone number and their time to anyone who wants to call them. And they're all listed together in the same page, so you can look on the page, up and down the page, and see the name, the area, like the city or town, and the description, very general description of the volunteer, plus usually a link to their profile page, either at Facebook or LinkedIn. And in addition to that, we like them to do their own version of the radio show where they appear as a special guest. So there's a link to that too. Point being that there's a lot of information about these people, and it's the user, it's the newcomer, the newcomer meaning the new person to NASCA, who selects for themselves who they'd like to try and contact next. And you can contact all of them eventually, but it's often useful to find two or three people who you've spoken to before who you're comfortable with and you like to call back. So that's what that's for. And so these people are out in the open. Their names are, and their phone numbers are in public domain. They volunteer their time on an as-needed basis. And then there are other people who either are in the recovery groups, the one that's on Zoom, or the radio shows, the one we're doing now, or sometimes attend a different function, which is not happening with COVID going on, but eventually there will be other functions that come back, and those people are involved on an irregular basis, whereas the radio show, for example, needs staff that's booked regularly. It needs both staff that run the shows, and it needs staff that produce the shows ahead of time, that track the shows, and then it needs guests. Guests are almost always members of NASCA who have committed to coming forward and talking about either their own story or the issue that they support. And all of them are survivors, so it's survivors talking to other survivors. This show is dedicated to being a nightly, a five-night-a-week, Monday through Friday, resource for anyone who wants it. And what we ask you to do is to call in on the resource on a regular basis. Get to know us and let us get to know you. The number to dial, by the way, is a New York City number, so it's not long distance. It's 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. 2118. And as I said, you know, we would love to have people call in even tonight, of course, to help us see what it is that are your concerns. Let us know whatever your question you have about NASCA. We'd be happy to discuss it. Carol and I are both very experienced with NASCA, and we'd be happy to try to explain what we do and how we do it and our own experience, strength, and hope. If you call on a Monday, Wednesday, or a Friday, you'll hear somebody telling their own personal story. Usually it's the life story of a survivor, beginning with the earliest part of their life, such as their childhood, of course, and then they're, you know, going to school, early schooling, elementary school, and then junior high, then high school, all the way through adolescence. And as they do it, they talk about what happened to them, especially keying on anything that caused trauma later that they want to share with us. And as they're doing that, they're also inviting us to think about what's happened to us. And periodically, we ask listeners to make a comment or ask a question based on what they've heard. So they'll say, "Wow, I thank you very much for sharing that. It amazed me that how close our stories are," something like that. And in this way, we're sharing our stories, and not just our stories, but also our solutions. Because the whole idea of this is to get to the solution and then start practicing that solution, whatever it is. And I'll tell you that an awful lot of that solution is in the sharing, comes in the sharing, because a big part of the problem is that children who are abused pretty much clam up. They don't talk about it. Sometimes they're threatened into not talking about it. Sometimes it's their own thinking that makes them not talk about it. Sometimes it's fear of what mommy's going to say or daddy's going to say if I talk about it. Whatever it is, for a variety of reasons, one of the hallmarks of the reaction to child abuse for children is to be silent. That's why you'll see a lot of the themes on people's books and radio shows and stories and so forth are about giving up the secret, which is what this radio show is all about, and that's my point. We invite people to come on board and to tell their story for the first time or for the thousandth time, because every time you tell your story, you diminish the power that it has on you, and you offer the insight that you have to the newcomer. In other words, in a way, by way of attracting them to someday possibly telling their story. The hallmark is, in other words, the secrecy, and that's before you hear someone else talk. Once you hear someone else talk, you will become more and more secure and even proud eventually that you are able to tell your story, maybe for the first time, but your story. And that you're going to be given an opportunity to tell the entire story sometimes, but certainly parts of your story over time, a little bit at a time, over and over and over. And every time you tell it, the power that it has on you is diminished, and the power that it has for you to be offering it as a gift to somebody else, as your insight grows, as your knowledge grows, as your experience grows, is really important for the newcomer to get. It's like giving them a gift, because they don't know that it's okay to share their story. Once they hear other people starting to share their story, and they hear that good things happen, not bad things, because we're all afraid of bad things happening, they may risk themselves telling the secrets in the hopes that they too will have a good experience and not a bad one. And I assure you that almost everybody does, right from the beginning. And then every time you tell your story, you improve the likelihood that the power of your story will diminish, and you will not be controlled by your story. You will control your story, and that's really important to understand. So that's what happens on the radio shows and on the recovery groups, which are on Zoom three times a week, on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursday afternoons. It's a different kind of format, but it's also 90 minutes long. And, of course, you have the opportunity to see each other because it's on Zoom, or not. You don't have to. And you will encounter people in the recovery group that discuss the issues of their day. These are people that know each other quite well. Over time, you can get to know them quite well, and you can share whatever you'd like in that group by way of, you know, talking about perhaps some of the insidious things that go on inside our brain. But certainly the idea is the same as the radio show, to give up the secret and get into the solution by giving it up. That's our whole goal here. Now, as I said, there are many programs and tools at NASCA, probably about 30 of them. They include like a list of books that our members have written. Anyone who's been on the show before and has an author of a book, or the director of a movie or documentary, or who writes poetry, paints paintings, any of the creative things. But the books are listed on the website on the book list in alphabetical order by the author, and it tells you where you can order the book and so forth, because we have an awful lot of people who have written books. Some of them have written multiple books, and we keep that going on forward, adding to it as much as we can as time goes on. It's another opportunity. Then we have resources of groups and meetings that are from around the world. We originally decided that we would try to list the groups that were in the United States. And our main person that does these kinds of things with me is Carolyn O'Hara. Carolyn is from Great Britain. She's from the UK, and she is a longtime member now of NASCA. But she decided that she would be willing to do the technical work, the data entry and so forth, and some of the research, to put together a listing of every group and every service that we could find that dealt with child abuse, and to some extent, some of them deal with domestic violence too. So they're indistinguishable, because the same organization deals with both. So we list those too. But we are about child abuse, so there are, I don't know how many, we've lost count a long time ago, because we not only did all the states, then we did all the provinces, then we did all the countries and all the continents and all the English-speaking world, and then we went back and we found that some non-English-speaking countries had English-speaking meetings, and we listed those as well. This is a huge project that's been going on for years, and I have to say, without Carolyn O'Hara committing to doing the data entry especially, I don't think we would have even started that list.
Well, you know, she's done an awful lot of work, Bill.
Say again?
Yeah. I want to give your voice a rest. You sound almost like me. And you're way out in the West Coast, and I'm out in the East Coast. Holy crow. But anyway, no, she's done a tremendous amount of work. And you know, I just want to say what you started here, Bill NASCA. Of course, I've been a part of this for, 11 years, almost 12 years. And it's working towards 12 years. And I've watched it grow. And sometimes we have our slumps, and then we have a lot of people, and then we don't. That's the way it is with every show. That's just the way it is. And a lot of times it has to do with personal problems or whatever. But I can tell you that over the years, I have received quite a few emails from people who have used the programs, who have listened to the shows. My God, we do have quite a few people who listen to the show. A lot of times they listen to their computer. Could be people doing that right now. And I've seen the graphs, so I know that, you know, we have our highs and our lows and all this other stuff. But anyway, the point is, the people that come on and they tell their story, the 99.5% are so happy that they did do that, because once they tell their story and they keep telling their story, and then they become involved, okay, they become involved with some of the programs that we offer at NASCA, or they go out on their own and do their own thing, but with NASCA in mind, like with presentations and so forth. It's always about child abuse to try and bring forth that awareness. Now, people have the awareness, okay, but we need for them to get more involved and to care more. But these people who go out and do so much work, and I did an awful lot of work for years, for God's sake, been in many newspapers. My book made it all the way to Japan. That was outrageous. I went to check on my book to see how it was selling. And there was all these squirrel marks, and I didn't know what the squirrel marks were. And then it said Japanese under it. So, you know, it's a our voices are being heard. Our voices are being heard. And I do, I am really happy, you know, that people are listening to our voices, because at one time we had no voice. And things are starting to change, and we do have, we absolutely do have, you know, groups out there, they're working hard, too, to bring forth more awareness and so forth. I see that John is with us, and I'm going to bring him on. And he can use his voice, because we sound bad.
Yeah, we're really struggling there.
You know,
oh, God. Oh, my God. Go ahead. I'm glad you're here, John Anderson. John Anderson,
you're doing excellent.
He's a member of NASCA, and I'm glad he's here, because, Bill doesn't sound good either. Like I said, he's
no,
West Coast,
no,
not East Coast.
I've been listening
I don't know what's going on there.
A few minutes of the show. Yeah, you know, I was listening the past few minutes of the show, so I wanted to call in. And, you know, and just off of some things, too, that Bill was hitting on, you know, as far as, like, the platforms, you know, that NASCA has to offer for everyone, it's really unlimited, you know. And being the fact that we're starting out a brand new year, you know, here it is, you know, we're getting ready to go into it. It's a good time. It's a great time for, you know, those people out there that are wanting to reach out, you know, and look for some help and come forward, you know, and that's the thing, you know, it's the best time in the world. Just like you said, Carol, is that, you know, there's been a lot of changes, you know, and you know, what comes with change is people leading the way, you know, for advocacy and letting them know that a lot of things available, you know, for you, you know, as far as everything goes, you know, if it comes down to any type of therapy, we have so many people that are associated with NASCA that it's really unlimited, you know, because we have contacts, you know, with every aspect. Bill, you know, so many people, and look at it, you know, if anybody needs anything at any given time, but I tell you, now is the time, you know, here it is, brand new year, you know, so if you are thinking about it and you're out there listening right now, I'm telling you, you know, you can pick that phone up. And I don't know if y'all been giving out the number to call in, but it's there, you know, and I'm sure Carol and Bill can tell y'all what the call-in number is, but it's a good time, really good time to change your life, you know. And I know that you're out there, you're listening, you know, right now. I've had 3 or 4 phone calls this week for people that are listening to us, you know, and we really appreciate that. And listen, you know, you're not alone, period. That's the biggest thing here, is that there's so many, you know, different people with personalities. However, you know, that's the biggest part about this, is that we're all survivors, you know, and we really, really understand about what your situation is. And that's the difference between, I think, you know, getting certain types of doctors involved versus having discussions with, you know, people that are survivors, you know. And I know that y'all have therapy meetings and this, you know, those kind of things. And I can tell you that I get more out of coming forward and talking, you know, about my story and talking about situations with other survivors more than anybody, you know.
Right.
And
that's
that's what NASCA is. I mean, that's really what the bottom line is, and that we have a solid foundation for you, you know, if you need to. You know, so I want to offer that to everyone that's listening out here. And I'm always available. My number's out there. You can call me anytime.
And that's good to know. My being the night owl, I get some strange calls at times. That's all right. I'm used to strange people. But, you know, we're here to help, you know, and there's so many people
yeah.
who need help right now, John, you know, that they really are.
Yeah.
With all the things that are going on in the world and all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of fear factor, you know, even with the COVID and everything. That is causing a big problem. And, you know, you get a cold or something like what I've got, I start thinking, oh, Christopher, I was over here, I was over there, I was doing this, I was doing that. Am I sick? I have to go get find out now, go get tested. So, I mean, we have all kinds of things that are in our own personal lives, too. But when you're out there and you don't have a group, you know, to talk to a group of people who are survivors, and you're a survivor, the holidays, of course, they're always the worst. We know this. People are more depressed around the holidays, you know, and they don't have family or whatever the case might be. And they need someone to talk to. Now, NASC is here. And I suppose the other groups are there also. And on the contact list, like Bill was mentioning before, and I had spoken about last night, I had run the show alone. That's fine. I have always a lot to talk about. Maybe that's why my voice is all screwed up. I don't know. But the point is, you know, I'm really happy that we have that contact list because quite frankly, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning when our minds are racing, this is what happens so often with the survivors, the minds are racing. You can't sleep. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. Maybe you're thinking about things that happened in the past. And remember, the past is the past. You don't get rid of what happened to you. No, it doesn't go away. But we have to learn how to accept that it happened and then also to move on. And I had mentioned that last night because it's okay. It's good to make goals for yourself. It's certainly good to go and get therapy if you need it. And it's always very good to find a good therapist, someone who does understand about child abuse. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and maybe your money. I don't know. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame. You see, the shame and the blame many times is put in the wrong place. We didn't ask for these things to happen to us. You know, we were the victims at one time, but we're still standing. I like to use that phrase, we're still standing, because that's what we are. We're still standing. So what we need to do is to get the people, all right, to understand that you are not alone. You're one of 60 million Americans that we know of anyway who have been sexually abused as a child. Okay, that's ridiculous. And we don't even know if that number is quite right. Because don't forget, a lot of kids don't tell, all right? Because out of shame or fear, they've been told they're going to be beaten up or really bad or whatever if they tell them, or, you know, whatever the case might be. So I just want people to know that, you know, we are here. We do understand. We've been through it. We have walked the walk. And that's why we can talk the talk. It's as simple as that. So anyway, I just want people to, you know, we're getting better at telling, okay? I mean, we have had, look, the scan number here is 2,824. 2,824. Now, this is just a talk show, all right? This is just a talk show. We've run other shows, too. We had Community Matters. We also had LACP. And so, you know, look, we've been on the radio here for years. I've been on actually for 14 years because I was somewhere else before I met up with Bill. So I've been on the radio a long time. And I can tell you this, that from, say, now and say, 10 years ago, there's been a big difference from that time period to this period because people are coming out. And that's a good thing. Because if you come out and start telling your story, you know, and getting help, the help that you need, you have a good chance at having the rest of your life being happy. One thing I hear so often in the AM is that people are stuck. They've gone on the healing journey, and they get to a certain point, and they don't, it's like they don't want to move forward. They're afraid to move forward. But I have to tell you this, as long as you stay stuck, all right, you're not going to heal, right? You're not going to heal the rest of the way, and you're not going to be as happy as you can be. We have a lot of men that are coming forward, and this makes my heart happy because it's not just a woman thing. It's a man thing, too. And it's okay to say, hey, this is what I've been through. This is how it affected me. It's okay. And no one's going to make fun of you. At one time, when we were growing up, for God's sake, if you had been sexually abused, I'm speaking now, I'm going to zero in on the sexual abuse. If you had been sexually abused, you weren't allowed to talk about it. If you did, that was being weak because you had to be macho. It wasn't okay for you to have, say, girl feelings. You know, emotions, this is what we're talking about, emotions. Many times we grieve about the childhood that we didn't have because when you're sexually abused, your childhood is ripped away from you. It's stolen, okay? Now, I did get married twice in my life. I don't want to get married again. I've had enough, thank you. But I do have wonderful children. I have wonderful grandchildren. And I'm sort of like finding my childhood, like I found it in my kids. We grew up with the Beatles. We sang. And my son's very gifted on the guitar when he really lets loose. And me, when I don't have a sore throat, I sing well. And we really let loose. And we have a good time. I've sung in New York City. I'm really happy about that. For years I did that. That was good. And I have some good times to look back to. So when Bill speaks about the artists, those who are authors, I've written a book. A lot of us do a lot of things. And I believe that from 10 years ago, okay, because we do have gifts, because we are people of worth, even though we're told opposite. We are smart. We're not stupid. Okay, we have so much to offer those out there who really don't understand child abuse. So my looking back, even 10 years ago, and I've been here almost 12, but I'm just saying, using the number 10, I can see such a major change in the people who are coming on. And we do have our psychologists that come on. We do have police officers that come on. I worked more in that line, you know, that type of thing. And although I certainly worked as a counselor as well, but we have all different kinds of people coming on from all different backgrounds who are survivors, and yet they have these, you know, they have these titles. So you're going to learn a lot when you listen to our show, and a lot of the people that come on the Tuesdays and Thursday shows, they're the ones who maybe they've been a psychologist for 30 years. But they're still a survivor, you see. And that's why we encourage people, you know, to call in to speak, say, to a psychiatrist. We'll have psychiatrists on our time. You have a problem, call in. Don't be bashful. It's not your blame, okay? It's their shame, the one that abused you. Remember that. So, but I have seen people moving forward, Bill. I have seen them moving forward. In the sense that men are not afraid to call in anymore. We have John right here. He's a survivor. But every night during the week, it's starting to get to the point, I just pray to God that people don't have COVID, that we have missed some people lately that were supposed to call in, and they didn't. But it's just rampant right now. And then that other one that they've got, I don't know. I can't even keep up with the names of them. I just know I have a sore throat. All right, but anyway, the point is, you know, people are calling in, both men and women. Okay, both men and women. The new stats that I know of is 1 in 3. It's raising. 1 in 3 girls will be sexually abused by the time they're 18. And with boys, it's 1 in 5. It was like 5 maybe to 7 before. And it's everything is raising. So people out there, please do become more aware of the fact that keep your children closer to you. We're going through a very hard time in our country. More kids are disappearing. You go into Walmart and you look at the bulletin board. I happen to like Walmart. You go and you see the bulletin board. Some of those kids, they're never coming back home, and some are found. Okay, that's the way it is. Many of them are pimped out on the street. And January, by the way, is the month for trafficking, okay, where we bring forth awareness of the human trafficking. Most kids, not all, but most kids are trafficked out by the age of 12. If they're going to be trafficked out, maybe 12 to 14. Those are the ones that are at most risk. However, it can be younger and it can be older, okay? And then stalking, also stalking. People don't look at stalking as being anything that's too much of anything, but let me tell you something. Stalking can easily turn into something else, absolutely. So keep that in mind. So when a person is out there stalking, believe me, they don't have a normal brain. They have things on their mind, so they stalk you. I was stalked as a kid, and then I got kidnapped and raped. So that's how it's a lot of times it turns into something like that. You just don't know, okay? So it's good to educate yourselves. Look at the website. I said this last night. I'm going to say it again tonight. The website was put together in such a way that there's so much information on that website, okay? You can learn an awful lot just by opening up the links. And you'll learn about how to teach your children about, you know, those that, the red flags that come up. You'll learn that. And by learning that and understanding, too, there's a lot of articles on there, how to speak to your children. David Pittman has good articles on there. I mentioned that last time. I'm mentioning it again because I wanted to get out there. Learn to teach your children. Teach them properly. It tells you about what ages all kids are different. But if kids are starting to ask you questions about their body, you know, say you give them a bath or something, and, you know, it's a good time, you know, to say, well, this is this and this is that, and look, God gave us our head, he gave us our breasts, he gave us our shoulders, he gave us our vaginas all the way down, and say it in the same voice, same tone. For God's sake, get over your embarrassment. Because your embarrassment someday of talking to your children and educating your children might be a very bad thing to your child, okay? Bad things happen. And never think that it can't happen to your child, all right? Because it can, and it does. So remember that the things that are out there now that we're speaking about, they're not going away. We're never going to get rid of child abuse ever, ever, ever. Sometimes people come on the show and they say, we are going to get rid of child abuse. They have the best of intentions. But we have to remind them that it's impossible for child abuse to go totally away. But what we can do is educate our children, educate ourselves first, then educate our children. And put a dent, like I used to say, in the statistics of child abuse. And that right there is taking care of the problem in a big way. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to someone else. We have a 207 person here. Maybe they just want to listen. Maybe they just want to listen.
Yeah, once you talk to Bill about that, listen, I do want to emphasize that's what's been going on a lot here lately. That they have stepped in when there's been situations in schools, okay, at an early age. I'm talking in the fourth, fifth grade. They have been bringing in, you know, counselors and social workers to educate these kids in school only because of situations that happen, okay? So, in other words, there was some action in school. Somebody could have said something, somebody could have touched something, but it was on the kids' level. There was no teacher to student touching or anything like that, from what I understand. But there were several cases going on. And you know how kids are when they reach the fourth grade, fifth grade. You know, they get interested, they pick up words and things, you know, of nature, and things can get out of hand, you know. And that's the whole thing about the education, especially around, you know, situations like school. and playgrounds, where that should carry over to, you know, into the environment. You know, it's that it's very, very important that we educate the kids early these days. And you know how it was like back in, you know, the 70s, 80s. I mean, that topic, you know, was a no-no, you know, around the household. People, you know, didn't want to discuss it in the community. If it was, you know, actions or allegations around the school systems or the Boy Scouts or, you know, anything, you know, regarding to any institution at that matter, is that it was mostly handled back in, you know, self-policing, you know, so to speak. In other words, you know, the archdiocese, they would take on their own. And there's so many scandals going on with that. That's a whole nother picture right there. And, of course, the Boy Scouts we all know about, you know, but it's really every institution out there, which is so sad. You know, it really, really, really is sad. And what that leads to also is that you got to think of people, you know, that do come on the show, you know, regular, that you know, people like Alan Stamps, you know, this guy, you know, has such a great history on saving, you know, some of these kids that weren't educated, so they were abused and they wound up going into foster systems and, you know, things of that nature. And this is absolutely what NASCA has to offer. You know, I mean, we have everything from child abuse, missing kids, you know, along with trafficking, molesters, pedophile. I mean, we got information on anything that we can get. You know, we'd be glad to help, you know, especially in recovery, you know, and the prevention side. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, and I think that's what NASCA really specializes in. But, yeah, but, Carol, the education is so, so important these days, you know, and that's the key, I think, to the future of awareness. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is being aware of the environment. I'm always, you know, curious myself of how to handle situations, you know, due to the flare-up over the years, pedophiles, and educating the kids and how extensive that really is. So now, you know, and if you see something, you know, like Penelope says, say something, you know, don't let it go because more than likely it's there, you know. So thank God that I think that the teachers these days and a lot of the ministers and stuff that are coming into society from a younger age are more respectful, okay? Let's just put it that way as far as I look at things. But too much damage has been done, and it's still there, you know? So, you know, with NASCA being here, you know, that's the thing about just like with Bill's life and my life and Carol's, you know, is that it's when you engage, you know, into the system itself and be a part of it and talk about it, you know, and get it out. And the more that I tell my story and hear other people's story, you know, the more educated that we all get, you know, don't you agree that's the key?
Well, that's exactly right, John. We are here. And, you know, I speak to all different kinds of people. You know, in the AM, I even speak to kids with their parents' permission because I've worked with kids before. And so I'm allowed to do that. But anyway, the point is when you're sexually abused, man, you need to talk to someone, all right? You have to.
Yeah.
And I have a good rapport with teenagers and so forth. I don't know, maybe my brain is like a teenager's. I don't know. They say it gets stuck. I don't know what's going on there. But I've always worked well with kids and adults, too, as well. But Kathy, I'm going to bring her on. I have spoken to her extensively. But we don't give out, you know, information. Okay. I'll bring her on. I've spoken to her. Kathy, is that you?
That's me. How you doing? I liked what you said about educating the children when they're young. This is your vagina, this is your penis, and, you know, to take care of it early. And I'm very concerned that before the children get to school and before the teachers, that they should know privacy and their boundaries and whatnot, you know, and where they stand. But, yeah, that's interesting. That was a good point you made.
Well, you know, so many people. Here's the problem, Kathy. You know, excuse my voice. I was teasing Bill before because he's out in the West Coast. He sounds like me on the East Coast. But anyway,
you talk a lot, so of course your voice is going to get rough.
I know. I do talk a lot, don't I? But anyway, with the problem is here that also makes it a problem. A lot of times the parents are embarrassed to talk to their kids.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's why it's so important that you don't use the little gaga names and whatnot. And so that's why I like, you know, not to be embarrassed and not to brush it away. Yeah. And I think that while, sure, this, like my parents, my mother couldn't tell you how she trained us not to go pee in our pants was certainly not healthy. But, you know, it's just important. The more kids will, because the children now, the youngins having babies are a lot younger than we are, so they'll just get used to being a little bit less apprehensive to go ahead and speak to the children openly and frankly, and instead of making it an embarrassing thing. So,
you know, and, by them being that way, you know, we have to teach them. We have to do a better job at parenting. We absolutely do. Because,
I know. Well, most parents, and I'm not going to speak to some of ours because those of us that grew up in abusive homes, you know, most parents don't set out to be bad parents, you know, and they, you know, do things that have been taught and has been run-of-the-mill, and I just think it's good that we begin before they get to school, because I've heard plenty of teachers that have been abusers and coaches and all kinds of stuff. So you just want to make sure the children know their boundaries before they, you know, leave the youngins and get into their even 4 and 5 years old. So
yeah,
anyway, I was hanging for a while, and I had a little heated discussion with John before I came on the air, and I have a phone call to make, but you guys keep it up. I know you work so hard, all of you, and I thank you for that. And let's discuss the gingerbread person. Let's discuss the gingerbread person one day real soon, okay?
Okay,
okay, we'll talk later. Okay, take care. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
So, anyway, yeah, that was Kathy. She and I talk at times, and we get phone calls an awful lot, you know, off air, and which is a good thing. And that's where the contact list comes in. All right, and people have questions and they like to talk about other things and so forth. But we don't really give out information, you know, about like guests who've been on. That's not a good thing. Because a lot of times they don't want that. But what we can do is maybe talk about certain things that the guest has spoken about on the phone. That we can do. Or we can run interference and speak to the guest ourselves and ask if they would like to speak to an individual. That we can do. So, but anyway, we do an awful lot of work here. She's right, at NASCA. People don't understand just how much work we do unless we talk about it. So once in a while, we will talk about it so that they'll get that information. It's important that people have that information. So I'm glad, Bill, before when you were talking about all the different things, I tend to talk about the red blocks, as I call them, because you have, you know, like programs written in one and all the way across. There's something written in them. And that way they can open up the links, and the menu is you know, extensive, and people can learn that way. But we have other things, too. And I really do miss Community Matters. You know, I miss that. You mentioned that the other night, I don't know, some time ago, maybe it was last week. Yeah, it was last week, and about Community Matters. And it's too bad that, you know, we didn't get more calls on that. But I think people now, okay, are starting to realize that, you know, they're doing more community activities together. They're talking more. People are talking more. I'm talking now about the urban areas, not the sticks, honey. I'm in the sticks, and I can attest to that, okay? Now, they talk to the bears. I don't know who they're talking to. But the point is, in urban areas, people are getting more involved. In the last couple of years, I've noticed this, that there's other groups that have popped up more in their own communities, okay? And it's a necessary thing. Now, I can say on air that if kids have problems, okay, they do have Neighborhood Watch, they do have Crime Watch. Kids can go to them if they can't go to someone in their family. We've all been in that, many of us on NASCA, I should say not all of us, may have been in that situation. And, of course, there's the Guardian Angels, whom we've had on several times. And but a lot of things are, you know, like being held back right now because of the COVID. For God's sake, stores are starting to close up all over the place in New Jersey. You have New Jersey, you have New York, you have Pennsylvania, and that's our tri-state areas, you know, you might call it together. And, you know, if the governors say this and they say that, that's the way it goes. So things aren't the way that they were, you know, before we got hit with this blasted thing almost a couple of years ago now it started. So, but still in all, kids can go to, I like to let kids know that, and I let them know that when they call me on the phone. They can certainly come to me. They can come to anybody, else, maybe other people on NASCAR, I don't know. But they also have the groups in their own town, because a lot of times the abuser is in the house. We know this. Okay, we know this. And now with homeschooling maybe coming back again, and it appears that it could because they're talking about that on the news last night, then the kid is in the house with the abuser. And they're so frightened, and they want to tell someone, but they can't. They're scared, and with good reason, okay? And, you know, so they feel like they're totally alone. And the suicide rate for children from 12 to 15 has skyrocketed, and then up to 24. They still consider 24-year-olds like, well, they're older children, aren't they? But the brain isn't quite 100% developed. And as parents know, a lot of times they're still on their insurance. They're on their, of both kinds, I mean, with their car and also, too, with the health insurance until they're 26, for God's sake. It wasn't like that when we were growing up, believe me. But the point is that there are other people that they can go to, and they will and can get help. Of course, there's Baca. Baca is someone I'm going to contact during the week, Bill. And as soon as my voice clears up, but I'm going to contact them. But well, anyway, we've had them on. Yeah.
We've had Baca them on. Is Bikers Against Child Abuse, whoever.
Yes.
They are a group of groups, but there might motorcycle groups of different kinds, and they show up to support kids in different ways, including going to court with the kids that's scared, you know, or showing up at their house and saying, "Don't worry, I got your back," you know, and it impresses kids. But I want to say something else that I was just going to get into, and you touched on it a few moments ago. I want to say something about it before it gets lost in the mix here, and that is the issue of community-based policing, basically, in its whole. That I was doing a show on that, and I decided that maybe we could get we could put together the notion of the Neighborhood Watch, which you mentioned, and the fact that that we'd like to promote the issue of child abuse as being something that's a public safety issue for families and kids. I had never heard a Neighborhood Watch group ever bring that up as a topic. Of course, the topics that they bring up are things like stolen cars and graffiti and garbage collection and, you know, people, strange people walking on the streets and their mailboxes getting broken into. Those are all Neighborhood Watch type things. Yeah, that's a common thing. But what I was trying to do was to promote the use of community-based tools and the issue of child abuse together. And I said, how about if we devoted 20 minutes to once a month Neighborhood Watch meetings to the issues of child abuse. And we actually started that. That's where our Blue Ribbon campaigns came from. If you see it in certain places, you'll see it listed as the Blue Ribbon Neighborhood Watch Group. And it's one of our programs still, but it didn't take off. So instead I did other things, and we're where we are today is because we might have gone a different direction had that taken off, but it didn't. Now, you're bringing up the fact that we can do whatever we want because we're a nonprofit that doesn't have any bosses. You know, we don't have to follow any rules. We don't get money from anybody, so we don't have our hands tied. As long as we can promote something that is related to children and child abuse and trauma prevention and so forth, including crime, we can include it in NASCA. And I think there's an argument that it's a huge public safety issue. It can be expressed in a lot of different ways. It can be a healthcare issue. It can be a growth issue. It can be a family issue. But it can also be a public safety issue that we have children who are being abused right in our own homes, as you said, not by strangers who come through the window, but by daddy who lives down the hall and sleeps in his bed most of the time. Daddy, you know, that's the person that's in the house. And we know that the statistics are such that there's basically no way that there won't be a child molester on almost every street in the country, almost every block in
that's
the country
it.
In some ways. So
see,
this
see
is
that,
a huge
it,
public safety issue, too. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
What, Carol?
That's it. Let me say something before I lose my train of thought here, all right? That's the point right there of Community Matters. You see, like the old saying, which I used last night, I'll use it again, there's power in numbers. If you have a neighborhood, okay, if you have a neighborhood where they really watch out for their children, okay, you're going to have less crime in that neighborhood when it comes to children because they're going to know that they'll move somewhere else. They'll go look somewhere else, all right? Some place that there isn't that type of connection for, right? So,
and you know what
so
else
I
is
think
a
that's
very,
very
important aspect?
Well, let me finish here with my sentence.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it goes with the sentence here. What I'm trying to say is we weren't ready for Community Matters, I think, when we started out. Now that people are coming forward and we're getting more into, you know, child abuse and people are listening more, okay, and then they're realizing that it's a bigger problem what they ever even dreamed of because people are talking that way now. I know. I hear them. I speak to them. Now something like Community Matters might go further, okay, than it did like 4 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Now they might take more of an interest. So that's what I'm going to say on it. We have to, you know, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to think about it and think, you know, see how maybe it could be brought into a show one way or another and then produce it to you because, quite frankly, again, a community that is very child-minded is a safer community than a community that doesn't give a blast about the kids, okay?
What I'm saying is NASCA is allowed to produce anything that's related to child abuse. So I think the public safety issue of how many kids are being abused in our country, that's a child abuse issue, and it's a safety issue,
yeah.
Both.
Right.
And so it's a quality of life issue for our country because we can't afford to have a quarter of our country growing up with trauma from child sexual abuse, which is all of us have. A quarter of our country, what
exactly.
A waste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just the quarter of the country that was abused, it's also the people that they hang around with, they marry into families, they have jobs that they go to, so they affect almost everybody. You know, one third of the population, or a quarter anyway, having had this trauma, it affects all kinds of things. So if we can reduce the trauma in childhood by our being more aware as adults of what our children might be going through, are teaching our children what they have to be watching out for and are taking the responsibility to go out after the pedophile, after the group, you know, of taking up maybe a role ourselves in the Boy Scout troop, so we make sure that no Boy Scout troop master, you know, can take advantage of a boy. Whatever it is, there's lots of things to do. And Community Matters can be brought back.
Right.
I still own it. You know, I still own it. We did 650 shows of Community Matters.
We need
Matters.
To use it again, Bill. We have to look at it, talk about it, and
right.
because, quite frankly, our children are so at risk, and maybe I'm not going to say more today than yesteryear because it's always been here, okay? But what we're doing is we're finding we have more awareness, even we have more awareness of just how much. And of course, it's in the news. I was going to say the newspapers. So it's online. Well, there might be a few newspapers out there. I don't know. But we're talking about the Boy Scouts now. They have been for the last couple of years. Don't forget, pedophiles go where children go, and they align themselves even with work so that they have access to children. So whether it be Boy Scouts, whether it be Girl Scouts, they're finding out there's many pedophile Girl Scout leaders, although not nearly as many as men. They still outnumber the women. But they're finding more. They're digging more. They're finding more information. So this is what we have to do. You know, you see,
right.
if we hit the groups and make people aware and encourage community, this is what we have to get rid of the COVID first. I agree with that. Yeah, that's just messing so many things up. But our children are stuck now in the house. Okay, when their own daddy or mommy is a pedophile or some family member. And I know what that's like, honey, all right? That's what took me out to the streets. Now, I identify with this so well, and I was really saddened when we got, you know, when we closed that down, the Community Matters, because it's so important. If you're a pedophile and you're roaming around the streets in your car and you're seeking a child for prey, and you know, though, that this is a no-no. You see signs that say Crime Watch. You see signs that say Neighborhood Watch. You say signs maybe that show that community is involved, community itself is involved. You're not going to stay on that street because you're taking a chance. You're going to go find some
right.
other area, all right, where there isn't all of that involvement with the community. Maybe a sign
right.
saying community-minded for children, something, you know, community watching. We have to have something. I haven't put it together in my head yet. But I do know that if a pedophile feels threatened, that he or she will just simply go to another child. In this point, it would be another area. They'll go somewhere else. So if it's something that could, you know, start and people become more aware, and then all the neighborhoods, not just looking for, you know, license plates or people of cars are there, they're dumped there or whatever, which is the normal thing that people talk about at the neighborhood watch groups. I understand that, the mailboxes and all that. No, we have to get them to understand that we have to watch our children better. And why?
Right, Carol.
So
that's exactly.
It's something that, yeah. Yeah,
and
that's
and two,
how children are going to be safer. And it's going to take many times. It's going to take we, the survivors, to bring forth this awareness to people who are not aware. How better
that's absolutely
than we,
correct.
The survivors,
yep.
than to speak?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'll tell you what we do here is that, and I do this extensively, Carol, you know, I'm very heavily into justice, you know, with my organization. So what I do is that we have a registered, you know, pedophile list, okay, in the state and every state, actually, you know that. So what I do here, what I do here is that I'm very familiar with some of the local people, you know, with what's happened in their families. Maybe some of them have broken up or gone through some issues, and maybe there was divorce and it's a single mom with a boy. You know, these are the kind of people that I look after heavily in my community, okay, because they know what I do for a living. The other thing is that I keep up extensively with the pedophile list and the registration. Now, we have flyers. It's a little, you know, mail order comes in, and it's a picture of the person is on it, where the address is. In other words, if they move, okay, they have to re-register within 2 weeks, okay? If they don't, then they violate, you know, everything, their probation as far as the laws go. The other thing, too, is that, you know, if you know of a pedophile that lives in your neighborhood and you're not aware of the laws, they cannot be within 1,000 feet, okay? 1,000 feet of any type of child's, like school, daycare, a playground. The only thing I've seen them get away with is churches, you know, which I don't agree with. I think they should also include that because there's too many children that do go to churches, you know, because they have what? They have a Bible study. They have summer camp. You know, all of that comes into play. So they have to be aware, and that's what I do. You know, I follow because one of my best friends actually works in that department, thank God, and I have an inside connection. And, look, it's totally legal, but I get this information, and it just happened, you know. So I had to make sure that this person was actually registered. When I found out he wasn't, guess what I did? I picked the phone up. I called the police, and they followed up on it. And, it, you know, they didn't arrest the guy, but they made sure that he did it in time, okay. And I'm on them that fast now. That's how fast I'm on them. So I'm just making sure that everyone that's listening out there knows that sometimes this is what it takes, you know, to protect our kids. Our kids are our future.
Right.
This is everything, you know. So we have to educate, but we also have to be there for them. And now that we've been this experienced in this many years of being traumatized, by we don't want them to live the lives that we've had in that way. So
no,
we
don't.
We do? We stand up. We fight for laws. We make sure the pedophiles are accounted for, and the people. And like you said, the COVID, God, it makes me sick. You know, to know that some of these kids are actually trapped.
I know.
You know.
Let me say something here. John, this is perfect, and I'll tell you why. Now, when I lived in Dover, my husband was working in New York City. He was part of 9/11. That's why he's dead. All right, sorry. That's awful. but anyway, the point is this. There was this pedophile that was allowed into the neighborhood. Now, Dover's a pretty rough neighborhood. Dover's a rough city. It's considered a little city. And so anyway, all of a sudden, there were cars going around and around and around and around this house. Well, the police had gone around to all the they had people out giving pictures of this guy. The police department did this. This is good. This guy, there was his whole profile right there on that piece of paper.
Right.
And so that's what caused the people. They wanted to see what he looked like even more. They had his picture, but they wanted to make him feel uncomfortable. He was not a tier one. He was not a tier two. He was a tier three. And usually when a person is a tier three, that means that they're assaultive as well. Maybe they made it almost kill someone, right?
That's right,
so,
Carol. Not a lot of people know
that's right. Yes. I talk about that once in a while. So, but anyway,
thank you for mentioning that.
Yes. So what they were doing was circling this guy. Now, he did have his own pickup truck. He was like a carpenter or something like that. He had his own little business. Look, I'm sorry if you're trying to make yourself, employed and all this other stuff, but when you're like a tier three, oh, no, absolutely not. You do not belong house by house. We had handshake houses. Do you know what handshake houses are? That means the houses were so close you could stick your hand out the window and shake hands with your neighbor. So how many feet was that guy away from other houses? Get my point?
Yeah.
And that's why I believe the police were passing around all this information. Hey, this guy is in that house. That guy should never have been allowed to rent that house because of who he was.
Exactly.
So you see, he left. he wasn't there more than maybe 3-4 months. I don't maybe not even close. The postal department. I can't believe the post office did this. Say his number was 62. I don't remember anymore. They changed it to 92. They knew who he was, but they changed it to 92 because of the parade of people that were trying to find where he lived. Oh my God. Well, he left in 3 or 4 months' time. So you see, what we do as a community can matter so, so much. These people were outraged that a Tier 3, even if it was only a Tier 1, don't forget, if you're Tier 1, that means you got caught finally. You're a first-time offender. But how many times have they offended? How many times do I speak about this? Anywhere from 121 to 128 times is a little bit of a slack there. They're not quite sure. That means 10 times one kid, 5 times another. Anybody can do the math. Put your own math in there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how many times they offended. They're just a Tier 1. They just got caught. All right? And that's all they care about. They're sorry they got caught. Well, they don't get much of a sentence. They're a Tier 1. But that person still has every bit as much of dangerous activity, okay, as anybody else, whether it's Tier 1, 2, or 3. Okay? So this is what I'm trying to get across to people, and this is why it is so, so, so important that community gets more involved and that community understands why we're not fanatical people. We are dedicated people. And like John said, we don't want them. We don't want them to end up like us. Okay? If we can help keep the crime rate down as far as sexual abuse from those that are on the outside, all right, with me it was inside and outside, whether I was with Living Home or out on, you know, I got kidnapped and raped like Bill, so, you know. So I went through both, and that was horrific. But if we can educate people better and get them to understand better and stop calling us fanatics, oh, forget about it. No, you don't forget about it. You learn how to live with it, and you make goals for yourself, and you move on, okay? That's what you do, and you get the help you need. So.
Yep.
This is important. That's why
you know,
community
too,
matters.
Right, Carol,
mm-hmm.
too. You know, and the other thing, too, is that there's a lot of people out here, and I know right now that the average age, so-called 50 to 52 years old, okay? I know for a fact that that's going to change, okay? I don't know about the actual division of the math, but however, what's going to be coming up behind us right now is that I'm starting to see, you know, more people come out at the late 20s and early 30s right now, okay?
Yes.
Where it
used
to be 50. So this is the job that we're doing. You realize that. It's because of us being there, you know, our weekly meetings, our nightly broadcasts and all the information, you know, and the people that are involved, they finally start to realize that it's okay. You're not alone anymore. You know, and that we need to get through this, but it's going to take time. You know, so that's the thing. And I know there's a lot of people out there in that category, you know, right now that's listening, you know. But to me, listen, it doesn't matter how old you are, okay? Age, to me,
that's right.
The sooner the better that you can get help. But at any age, it does not matter. Please, please reach out. And that's all it's going to take. And I guarantee that your life will change forever for the best. And that is a given.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And you know, John, more people are starting to come out. They absolutely are. And like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, because, you know, there's a lot of times guys listen, but they still haven't quite gotten over that threshold, that line where they say, I want to tell my story. And it can be for a number of reasons. Yes. So,
Carol,
there's
a fellow on the line who's calling for the first time, so I think we ought to at least acknowledge him.
Yes.
His name
is
Hoteb, I believe. And
he
just briefly told me that he's survived a lot of molestation. So why don't you at least get a little bit of his story and welcome him to the NASCA group.
Yes, please. I'm glad you called in. Well, we need more people calling in, you know, and talking about it. That's what we want to do. This is important. So 917, is that PA? What's 917? I forget. Are you there?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know where he's from.
Okay, so I have his mic open. Okay, I have his mic open. And did you have something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, a few quick things. One is that I think a lot of from my survival experience, mine was mostly based on a religious cult that my parents were in that is very popular today. They knock on doors and give out magazines and things like that. But they also target you for shunning when you speak up, even if you're a survivor. So historically, I think some religions do have a history of abuse of children and other issues, but these things are covered up. I think also some secret societies, whether it's on college or the major secret societies that some of our political folks are with, have some very odd behavior sometimes to get into the group and sometimes just accepted and protected, just like it is in some religions, including the major one that's in Europe news always comes up about them. So if we're members of religion, we kind of take a side. Well, you know, since I'm a so-and-so religion, you know, I won't say anything. And that is what helps it to continue also with the Boy Scouts. In other words, when you have a big umbrella entity, you can almost do whatever you want in that entity, even though the entity claims to protect children and live up to certain virtuous deities, ideals in their holy book. But here come the kids being abused. And if we exclude the psychopaths and the sociopaths from the table, because they exist in all nations and they do different things, not just possibly rape children or molest children, then you have to look at the entities where it all started. And one entity where it started is, for at least black folks, is during the transatlantic slave trade, when women and children could be molested. And that legacy passed on to some of the slaves, but also some of the slave masters. So it's a very complex dynamic, and it's going to be difficult to fix for the protective reasons the umbrella entities protecting, but also in some communities like the black and Latino community and Italians who are very macho, the men don't come forward because you tease, you little. So there you go through it again. You're like, wait a minute, I just went through a lot of craziness, and now here you are bullying me and teasing. And so it's a complex situation, and I think some ethnic groups, the pain is the same and the drama, but the causes are sometimes different, and the different ethnic groups sometimes don't understand the other ethnic group's position, and it may seem like it's the same solution, and sometimes there may be some slight differences. But appreciate your time, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, let me say something to you. Is he still there? I hope so. With the cultural, you're absolutely right. And I know, like with the Italians, and I have Italian in me, so I can talk like this, okay? But, you know, like teachers in school, female teachers, a lot of times they're finding out that they, too, are pedophiles. They're doing a lot more studies on this. And the Huffington Post had a whole bunch of female teachers who were going after little boys or young boys, whatever.
Yeah.
And so what's going on here is the ones from, like the Italian families, the father, if the kid did say something, the father would slap the kid on the back, say, "That a boy." No. It's not cool because a pretty teacher, you know, wants to, you know, assault you, because that's what it is, it's assault.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cool. So it can be a cultural thing. I know that with the Italians, all right? And I'm sure there's many other cultures out there. But like you said, the macho bit, that's got to go. But I am seeing a change in the numbers of men that are coming on the show now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. So that I don't care what their, you know, background is, whether Italian, whether it's the Hispanic or whatever. Yeah. I don't care what they are. The point is they're coming forward. And they're looking past that, and they're saying, you know what, my voice needs to be heard.
That's
voice
right.
needs to be heard. And if they do it several times, you know, I'll tell you what, those people go out and they start, you know, working with kids or working with adults who have been abused when they're ready.
That's right.
And if they need help, they go and they get the help that they need, because macho is a bad thing, okay? Because when a child is sexually abused, their life changes forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to, you know, you have to find a way to live your life if you're going to do it. Suicides are very, very high right now with children. Part of it's because of the COVID, and the other part is because they're living in the house with a pedophile. Okay. So I thank you for calling in. And I do want you to, you know, feel free to call in, you know, Monday through Friday. We're here. And if ever you need someone to talk to, the contact list is right there on the front page of NASCA. That's NASCA.org, NASCA.org. And you'll see the contact list. And there's a number of people that you can call. Okay?
Thank you. I'll hold on because I have something to add, but someone else was about to speak.
Please
so
do.
I'll hold on.
Yeah, because the show is almost over. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Yeah.
If you have something you'd like to add, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to Hoteb's, you know, comment there, and he's bringing up all the situations, and he's absolutely right. And Hoteb, I want to tell you, I am one of those, okay? I was actually involved through the Archdiocese, and mine was covered up along with many other, you know, type situations. So what do we do about it? You know, I was 8-9 years old, and which a lot of us were back then. So what I do now is that I go and help change laws, okay? I get involved with the community, with the state representatives. I actually go to the House, okay, into the Capitol, and I testify, okay, on behalf of survivors around the nation, and I've been to 7 already, okay? But lately, I went to the one in Louisiana, and we got the statute of limitations totally abolished now with the 3-year window, okay? So this is the key, in my opinion, is that in order for us, you know, to help the kids in the future, you know, the laws have to benefit the kids in every situation. So in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, but I fight for this religiously, there should be no limitations, no statute on any type of child abuse, period. And I'm going to leave it at that.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Thank you for that feedback. Yeah, it's tough that all of you, well, most of you, I don't know, all of the callers have gone through it, so it's terrible, and I apologize on behalf of the folks that won't apologize. I kind of, my thing was a Jehovah's Witness scenario, and when they find out about it, they kind of, they don't have a assassination squad, but they make your life miserable with the family that you have. So I have children, et cetera, so I try to protect them from not only pedophiles, but the potential shunning that will occur. But the witnesses, elders, covered this up, and the same guy went on and molested more people. So what they do is they catch a guy, right? They don't tell the rest of the JWs why the guy was disfellowshipped. They just say he's disfellowshipped. So here he is around more kids.
Right.
And he comes back and gets rebaptized, does it again. It's systemic, and the Catholic Church seems to do the same thing, and I hope they don't harass you. But
it's all called self-policing. It's self-policing, and that's what we have to put an end to, period.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I've gotten a 90-second cue.
Yeah, that's an interesting interesting story right there, Hotel. It really is.
I
like
know.
The whole story
I thank
one
you
day.
So much
Absolutely.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
And you call in anytime you want to, okay, Monday
thank
through
you.
Friday. You got the number, and you know, okay. So, but anyway, this turned out to be an interesting show. Last night I ran it myself. I gave out a lot of information, which may have probably was interesting. But when you have 3, 4, 5 voices, it gets lively. It gets even more educational because everyone has something good to say that'll help the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here for. Okay.
Right.
So I want to thank you guys for coming on, Bill. It turned into a good show. And, you know, we have to, I have to hang up here now. So good night. God bless. And I hope everybody stays safe, okay? And we'll be back again tomorrow. No, Monday. I can't even think. Good night.
Yeah.
I've got a bad sore throat. Talk to you later.
Tomorrow night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.